Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself and God, that you would cause us to hear your voice. And Lord, that we would not only hear, but obey you. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Many stories often begin with a similar or like-sounding phrase. A long time ago. Once upon a time. Once there was. And each of these phrases launch a person into a story of one type or another. Once there was a little girl named Cinderella. Once upon a time in a little village in the mountains. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But the one true story, our story begins with these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Last week we learned that this particular story really can be seen with two perspectives. There's God's story. Can you go ahead and go to the next slide? I don't think I have my... up in the window. Last week we learned that this particular story has two perspectives. There's God's story, which is the upper story. It's God's perspective. It's God's actions. And then there's our story, which is the lower story, which are stories of people's lives here on earth. The upper story, again, tells God's story, living in perfect community, one with each other, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then God expanding that perfect community to include people created in God's image so that we could be in a perfect relationship with God. The lower story speaks about people's stories. God's crowning achievement, Adam and Eve broke the relationship with God by disobeying God's one command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because they did, they could no longer eat from the tree of life, which would cause them to live forever with this disobedience to God, with this sin nature, life forever separated from God because of their bent towards selfishness, towards sin. Yet in the upper story, we saw that God was not willing to stop, seeking to be in a relationship with you and I. First with Adam and Eve, then Cain and Abel, and then Noah. But in the lower story, our bent to disobedience and selfishness continue to draw people away from God. Yet God does not stop seeking people, does not stop seeking you and me, because God loves us and desires to be in a relationship with each one of us. And the Bible is that story. God seeking to be with us. And people really wanting to be with God, yet constantly battling their bent to sin, to be disobedient to God, and to do things their own way. That's our sin nature. So it was time for a different approach, a different strategy, God thought. I still desire to be in a relationship with people. But this time I will build a nation of people who will be in relationship with me and I with them. I will give them a blueprint on how they can find me and live with me. And as these people live with me, I will reveal myself to them and give them an opportunity to be in relationship with me too. And through this nation, others will come to be connected with me. Yes, there will be struggles. There will be battles with their sin nature, their tendency to do things their own way, which may lead them away from me. But there will be faithful people. When God first approaches Abraham, or Abram, as he is known. It means, Abram's name means exalted father. Can you say that? Exalted father. Curiously enough, instead of starting with a young couple in their prime, God begins to build this nation with Abram and Sarai, his bride. You see, though, Abram is 75 years old and Sarai is 65 years old, past childbearing years. In fact, they had never been able to have children. So God chooses to raise up a new nation, beginning with a childless couple too old to have children. Wow, God, what were you thinking? Why would God take this approach? Nonetheless, God begins with this promise to Abram in this way. Read it with me on the screen. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Of course, you know that Abram and Sarah jumped into their Audi, or actually their motorhome, and tooled down the road a few hours to the promised land. Not so hard. No, it was a journey on foot, or at best on camel or donkey. And it was only about 1,000 miles. I can imagine thinking, driving 1,000 miles today, going, wow, what a task. With his whole home, flocks and people, tents and other equipment, food and fuel for cooking. I imagine at best, they would have been able to cover maybe 20 miles a day. But let's just use that, because it's easier to do the math. And at that rate, we're talking at least 200 days. 200 days at 20 miles an hour. Nothing goes wrong. Nothing breaks down. They don't stay at a rest stop for too long. 200 days. I wonder if we would today be willing to give up all that we know or all that we have, all the friends, the family, and take this type of journey based on a promise. A promise from God. Oh, and by the way, here's the promise that God gave to Abraham. Read it with me. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Wow, quite a promise, don't you think? Become a great nation, be blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Raise your hand. Okay. Have a great name. Be a blessing to others. In fact, be a blessing to all the people on the earth. Could you imagine that? Kind of a promise? I guess if God asked that of you, make a great move with the promise of becoming a great nation, be a blessing to others, in fact, all people, would you do it? Would you do it? Abram did. It says in verse 4, so Abram went as the Lord told him. Could you be that free to follow God based on a promise? Maybe it's not to become a great nation, but certainly God promises that if you follow Him, you will be a blessing to others. A blessing to others if you follow God. I think of so many people of God who have influenced me to become God's man. They blessed me by living a life for God. I also think of the people who in this church teach our little ones and not so little people here They are a blessing, aren't they? The people who lead missions teams or collect furniture or deliver furniture or go down to CAS, they're a blessing to others, aren't they? And let's not forget those who help with the service. Greeters and ushers. It's so important that people, as they enter in, feel warm and invited. Musicians and liturgists, administrators, and yes, even the tech types. And when you give of yourself through your prayers, your presence, your finances, you are a blessing and will be blessed by God. Now, that's not so much as traveling 1,000 miles on foot or camel, unpacking and packing every evening and morning for a promise from God that has yet to be fulfilled. I wonder if Abraham questioned God. Do you think it's okay to question God? You see, Abram and Sarah, they do follow God. They believe where they cannot see, and they trust God to keep his promise. And they do this faithfully. Right? Nah. Yet Abraham does question God on occasion through the years about this promised child, that this 75 and maybe 76 and now 78 and now 79-year-old, and at one point saying to God, My servant in my household will inherit my estate. God, if nothing happens. And yet God reminds Abram, there will be a child, and then says to him, remember, he has no child with Sarah, and Sarah is unable to become pregnant in past childbearing years. But God takes him outside and says this to him. Look up in the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to Abraham, so shall your offspring be. Abraham's response says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he, God, credited it to Abraham as righteousness. Believing and yet not seeing. You see, when we trust God, when we believe in God's promises, especially where we cannot see, God blesses us. A young man lived a life where he would spend time with God each week, faithfully spending time with God between 8:45 and 11 on Sunday mornings. And the rest of the week he lived a worldly life. He and his siblings had been raised in the church, and yet as adults they had all drifted from the church. One summer God really began to work on him, and he ended up giving his heart, mind, and soul to God, to Jesus. And he received word from the Lord that night that God would bring his siblings into a deeper relationship with himself. It would take years. But one by one, he found each sibling developing a deeper relationship with God. Even when we cannot see, trusting God at his word, trusting God's promises really is the only way to live. Even after Abraham is reminded by God, using the stars in the sky, Sarai is waning in her faith. Or feels like maybe God needs a little bit of help with this whole child thing. And so she does what isn't uncommon in her day. She gives her maidservant to Abram to have a child, so the promised nation could finally begin. Sarai thought she was helping God. But God said, this is not the child of promise. This wasn't my answer. It was Sarai's answer. And frankly, Abraham was in on it too. Their attempt at helping God didn't work. It would be another 13 years later, 25 since the initial promise was given. Abraham is 99 and Sarah is 89. When God would come and tell Abraham that the son is on his way. And when Abraham is 100 years old, Isaac is born. The child of promise. Now, there would be some other tests and other trials along the way for Abraham, but he did continue to trust God, even though he might question God. He still trusted God. And God would renew the promise first with Isaac, his son, and then to Isaac's son, Jacob, that God was going to build a great nation through them. Now, what is really interesting to me is that Abraham trusted God, but would not in this lifetime, not in his lifetime, see the fulfillment of the promise. Wow. That's a dirty move, God. Giving me a promise that I can't even see fulfilled. Wow. Can God do that? Well, evidently, yes. And neither would his son Isaac see the promise. It would not be until Isaac's son Jacob that a nation would begin to form, that it would begin to grow exponentially. And throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are known as the fathers of Israel, the fathers of a mighty nation. It's recognized by the Israelis today, by Christians around the world and Muslims. They all recognize Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as the fathers of this great nation. And that reminds me that God kept his promise. As I think about God's perspective in all of this, with building a nation to reach the world, beginning with Abraham and Sarah, I'm reminded how this plan, this blueprint, has not really changed. God's plan remains the same. Through a group of people, others will see God interacting with them and desire to join them in a relationship with God. But this group of people is not the group of people from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or even the Israelites. It's the church. We're that group of people. We're that plan that God has given to the world. You and me. God in relationship with others so that others will see God's love and join us and be with God for all eternity. The blueprint hasn't changed. This is God's plan. And guess what? You're a part of it. When we are the body of Christ, truly committed to God and God's work through the church, God works through us and in us. We are God's avenue, God's final plan. Get that? God's final plan to bring others into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son, who died on a cross. When we stand on God's promises, when we live our lives according to God's plan, lives that are real and transparent with God and with others, we will attract others to faith in God, faith in Jesus Christ. And when we follow Jesus without shame and are fed through God's word, God will draw us and others to him. When people are led astray from God or God's church, understand God will continue to seek them. That's always been God's way. God will seek them to the ends of the earth to draw them back into the fold with him. When we live believing and trusting in Jesus, we are promised by God that he will receive us when we leave this world. But right now, like Abraham, let us look into the sky and be reminded that God is still building a nation, still gathering people to himself through believers like you and me who truly love and trust God and keep to God's promises. Allow Jesus to lead you like a shepherd toward a life of love, a life of deep faith, trusting in God's promises. For now and into eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you. And we praise you, Lord. And frankly, God, sometimes I'm shocked that you could even bring one person closer to you through my life. As I'm sure there are others here who sometimes wonder if we can make a difference at all. In a world that seems so chaotic at times, so broken, and yet, Lord, your plan hasn't changed. You still desire to be in relationship with all people. And you still desire to use even us, even as broken as we sometimes are, Lord, to draw others to yourself. And so, God, we open our lives. And in our hearts, God, we say, use us. Cleanse us. Make us whole. And then help us to draw others closer to you as we draw closer to yourself. And Lord, help us not to face the future afraid, but to face the future standing on your promises as we are led by your Holy Spirit through the words of your Son as found in the Bible. God, do your work in us that we might be the church of God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.